117th Psalm comprised of only two verses of Scripture, but the song in its entirety is about the praise of God. And I'm so glad that Scriptures that were written, songs that were sung are about praising the Lord. And I know that in our hearts we feel like that's something we ought to do every single day of our life, but especially when we gathered in the house of our Father. Psalm 117 reads thusly, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." Beautiful psalmist. So that's the title of my sermon, and you see why now. Because this is a praise song. Would you join with me in a moment of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we do bow before you, because you are the Almighty God, the great creator of all the vast universe. And within it are mysteries that our finite minds have not yet been able to comprehend. And all of that is a testimony of thy greatness and thy goodness. You made such a wonderful world in which we might live and enjoy. It is thy handiwork and thy blessings upon us. So we thank you, Lord, for creating this beautiful world, for the blessings of each new day of life. And we thank you, Lord, that we can be here today in thy house, together with thy dear people, to worship and praise you. Our Father, we need thy blessings upon us. Thy word, through the words of our Savior, taught us that without me ye can do nothing. And we believe his words are true, are true today. So we lean on thy everlasting arms. We confess our need of you, Lord. We ask you to bless your word to our hearts and our lives. I pray, Lord, for liberty to preach your word and liberty in the heart and the mind of all who have gathered today to be able to receive it, take it home with them, so that we may all endeavor to live by it in the days that are to come. For coming into thy service and understanding thy word is not just about gaining knowledge, but the knowledge of how to live and endeavoring to live a life that would be pleasing to thy sight and honoring to thy name. So bless, O Lord, each one here and each home represented. Thank you for the blessings that have been mentioned, where your hand has reached out to others who are still in need, O Lord, grant your continued blessings upon them. Always forgive our sins, which are many. Have mercy upon us. Lead us by thy Spirit, and bless and use us for thy glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this song, it is a song of praise to God. Now, I want you to have that in your mind. I want you to think of the entire book of Psalms as the song book of the Jews. No doubt you've heard that on other occasions. In fact, the Apostle Paul really makes that 22 different divisions, which are according to the Hebrew alphabet, which has 22 letters in it. Our English alphabet has 26. And it's an interesting thing that in every one of those 22 divisions, there are 8 verses that tell you to understand the six. Now, the reason I'm telling you that is because that's a very long song, isn't it? The longest song I personally know is Amazing Grace. I have an old original version, I was told, that has 13 stanzas in it. 13. I don't know that I've ever been anywhere we sang all 13 stanzas. I think I've had 7 stanzas in it, and we sometimes sing it all. But here is the extreme, that from that being the longest song, and the longest chapter, and the longest song, this one is in direct the opposite direction. This is the shortest chapter of the Bible, and it is the shortest psalm. There are others that have as few as 3 verses, but this one has only 2. And I think that's an important thing for us to remember, that it doesn't take a lot of words to praise God. Think about that. I mean, you can praise Him with 176 different verses, or you can praise Him with just 2. So it's not the amount or length of the song or the psalm. It's about the praise that rises out of our hearts toward God. And this little psalm, beginning to end, reminds us of the need to praise God. Now, by way of introduction, my sermon today, having said that, just kind of some information to pass along to you. But having said that, I want you to notice the divisions of this psalm. It begins by saying, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations." That's pretty broad, isn't it? I mean, that encompasses every nation then upon the earth. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. And we can say that same sentiment in truth today. Praise God, all the nations of the world. You say, well, why did he say praise all the nations? Well, when I thought about that, it brought to my attention, and I remember a verse over in the book of Revelation, probably some of you had already thought about it. Remember, there was, in the 5th chapter, there was a book written within on the back side, was sealed with 7 seals, and it was called to see if there was any man who was worthy to open those seals and read from that book. And John found no one worthy to open that book of seals. And he wept about it. Then he hears a voice that says, "Weep not, for behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of Jesse, has prevailed." And he's later in that verse called the Lamb of God. You know who he is. He's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then in the 9th verse, they begin to sing what I call redemption song. They sung a new song, and it was to the Lord. "Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." See? Which says to me in my heart that God has people in all the nations. And you know, the Bible tells us that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, according to Ephesians 1:4. And so when God chose us, and that's what we call the doctrine of His acting grace, and when God chose us as His people and wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, He chose us before He ever made the world, before we ever existed, before we ever did any works, He chose us. He chose us out of all the families, all the tongues, and sometimes within a nation there are 2 or 3 different or more tongues that are spoken. But all the tongues and all of the United States of America. And so to us as the people, praise Him. All you people. Now here's why. You know, Paul had a wonderful way of looking at things under the inspiration of God. In Galatians chapter 2, and I think it shows how personal our religion really is. You think about your religion being personal religion. You think about our sins. Well, we're all believers. All God's children and love the Lord. Yeah, but it's personal, very personal. And Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now that's as personal as it gets, my friend. He said, Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Galatians 2:20. That's as personal as it gets, brothers and sisters. And it's not just me quoting that scripture, but every one of you is just that personal to you. That we are to praise God, that person. Now, the second part of my sermon would be, why are we so encouraged here and in other places to praise God? Why? The second verse in Latin. Notice it says, for or because of his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. In other words, this is why, this is the reason behind this glorious little short praise song that encourages us to praise God. There are three things really involved in this. Now notice this. He mentions his merciful kindness to us. That involves two things, doesn't it? At least that's my perception of it. It involves, number one, the mercy of God, and number two, it involves the kindness of God. That's what merciful kindness is. Well, let me deal with mercy just a little while. I want you to think about God's mercy. Did you know that God is a merciful God? He really is. I'm going to tell you that this morning. God's merciful God. A little further over, and I'm not going there right now, but I would encourage every one of you to read it, maybe before the day you die. But Psalm 136 is 26 verses long, and beginning at verse 1, and through every verse, including verse 26, in every single verse, it says, for his mercy endures forever. And boy, I tell you, that really kind of hammers the nail in, doesn't it? You know, just bang, 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 all the way down. And everything it says about him is all true. But that one point repeats from first to last. His mercy endureth forever. Mercy. What is mercy? Well, I've defined it for convenience, maybe from my own understanding, as getting less than you deserve. In other words, I'll illustrate it like this. A person commits crime, and he's arrested and carried before the judge, and the judge says, well, sir, he says, you've broken a law, and according to the rules, there's a 5-year set of prison sentence that goes with that. That would be justice with me. That's what the law says. But the judge says, but you seem to have remorse about what you've done. You seem to have had some second thoughts and realized what you've done wasn't right. And I'm going to let the court show you mercy. I'll only incarcerate you 1 year. I'll give you 4 years of probation. That would be merciful. Be less than he deserved. He deserved 5 years. He only got 1 year to be sentenced to prison, but he got 4 years of probation. If he behaved himself, those will watch that. That's mercy. And so when we think about our sins, and when we read the Bible, we discover many of them, don't we? For which we go to God and repent and say, Lord, forgive me. Have mercy on me. Because we need mercy. We thin and beg for mercy, that God will show mercy on us. And let me say, brothers and sisters, there are some things I wonder about. There are some things I know, as much as I can, beyond a shadow of a doubt. And that God is a merciful God is one of those things. Did you know I can stand right here today and tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has been merciful to every single one of us in this building today? And I'll tell you why. Lamentations 3:22 and 23 said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Beautiful words of God. It says that every day when we open our eyes, we light a new day. When life remains in our vessel of faith, we know God has been merciful to us again. Because it is of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. What does that mean? What's the wages of sin? Death, isn't it? When God warned Adam about the forbidden fruit, in the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And he died in sin. Passed on to all of us. We're dead, trespassed in sin, according to Ephesians 2:1. And so, we deserve to die. We deserve that God would just quietly pull lies out of our lives, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so, the fact that God has done that, He keeps letting us live for another day, is a daily reminder God is a merciful God. You know why God can be so merciful? Because He has so much mercy. I don't know if any of you here today remember a dear old preacher that lived up in the part of the state, of Charlie Dean McClendon. He was a godly old brother. Served Grace Church where I pastored for 9 years. Ahead of me, he served him 25 years. And he had a saying, and I watched it, and it was so often true. He said, when you read in the Bible and you come to the word, but God is what most often God speaks to tell you something good. He said, not always that way, but most of the time, God speaks to tell you something that's really good. And I want to show you that. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 4, it begins with the word, but. Well, what's God got? But God, who is rich in mercy, or His great love, wherever He loves. Now, that's just about as good as it gets, doesn't it? But, here's the good. God's rich in mercy. Now, there's some rich people in this world. And we look at them and say, well, they got more than they need. Now, some of them got more than they did. Some of them got more than all of them did. They can't spend it all. They can't throw it all away. It comes into pass. You know, they're going to live and die, and somebody else is going to keep being rich. And yet God is richer than all of them, because God is rich in His mercy. That means as many times as God gives it to you and me, it'll never run out. It's that abundant a resource, the throne of God. You know what that does for me? I hope it does for you. It makes me feel in my heart that I can go to God as an old publican did a long time ago. 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke tells us about midway in that chapter, there were two men who went to the temple to pray. One was Pharisee. You know, because God hadn't made us where we do much patting on ourselves on the back. Get your fingers back there. That's not all. You can't really pat yourself on the back. If you want someone to pat yourself on the back, you got to get somebody. Maybe it's your husband or wife or friend to pat yourself on the back. But I'm a Pharisee, but he seems to do it all good to pat himself on the back. The Bible tells us he never really prayed to God. He just said words. He prayed thus with himself. God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are. And he went through a list of things that people do wrong, or he said, as or even as this publican. The publican's the tax collector. Not many people like him. And so, I'm glad I'm not like him. But before the day was out, I bet if he had known the truth of God, he'd wish he was like him. But that old publican, the 13th verse of that 18th chapter tells us, that old publican would not even lift up his eyes toward heaven. He didn't even come
such a short but powerful prayer. You know what Jesus said about that publican? He went to his house justified and not the other. That's why I say I believe that later in the day he could have somehow discovered that what he said made no difference in his life, but what that publican he didn't want to be like had experienced. He just said, wait a minute, Lord, I'd like to be like him now. But he didn't know, did he? Didn't understand. But you know, here's the point. We can go to God and say the same simple prayer. God, be merciful to this sinner. And know that God has the riches of his mercy at his disposal. Well, is that something for which to praise God? I think it is. Second thing. Is the word kindness, mercy, kindness. But here we're going to look now for just a little about the kindness of God. His kindness to us. In the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 3, Jeremiah makes a statement that has made me love that verse of Scripture in a very special way. Yea, the Lord appeared unto me of old, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Loving kindness, that's the word I'm going for. But you see, God has said, Jeremiah, I want you to know something. I want you to know I love you with an everlasting love. And it's because I love you that I've drawn you to myself. Kind of like the children when they're little, or your grandchildren when they're small, and you know, they play games with you, you're going to stay away from them. You want a hug, you want those sugar, but they are going to give it to you. And they get pretty close, and you grab them, and you pull them, and you put them in your arms. You see, you've drawn them to you. That's what God does, isn't it? He called us, he drew us to himself. Why? Because of loving kindness. Because he loved us. Now, listen, we can be kind to total strangers. We should be. We should mistreat people. No matter who they are, just walk up this creek. I believe that's pleasing to God's sake. But we can be kind to total strangers, somebody we have no feelings at all for. We don't know. But loving kindness is when you're kind to people you love. That makes it better. That's a better kind of kindness. And so God said, I have, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. And listen, that's what happened in God's amazing grace in every one of our lives. If we're saved by the grace of God, God loved us from before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4, I'll mention that again. That's where it's mentioned. He chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. See, it's that love. He loved us and caused him to choose us for nothing in ourselves, but all totally in him, his grace and goodness. But he loved us with an everlasting love. So, in your life and mine, he's reached out and caught us and drawn us to himself in loving kindness. That is, he's been kind to us whom he had love with an everlasting love. Now, let's go to the New Testament. Paul reminded me of a passage, in a passage that he was inspired to write of what Jeremiah said. He mentioned that we were also, that is to say, as other people. Once we were all as other people, even now are. Sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers or different lusts and pleasures. And he goes on now to say, living in malice and hateful and hating one another. Those are common themes, you man. And I dare say before the grace of God, there was more of that in us than is in us today.
again, but all of this amazing grace.
In fact, that's really where I go with that. You know, Paul said in Ephesians 2:7 that in the ages to come, that word ages means dispensations to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to us through Christ Jesus. Verse 7 of the second chapter, it says that in our dispensation, in dispensations before us, in dispensations, that if the world continues to last, that will follow our day in dispensation. But in all the dispensations, when there are sinners living and walking on the earth, and yet God, in the riches of his grace, has been kind to us through Christ Jesus. And his Son, that's grace, that's the kindness that I can imagine God's done for us. And you know what he does? He then says, be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God has forgiven you. You've been forgiven by God. You ever gone to the Lord and repented and said, I'm forgiven of your sins? If we confess our sins, the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. And if you've ever done that and felt forgiven, and we do know when Jesus died on the cross to pay our sin debt, we are forgiven in an eternal sense to our forgiven. That's one of the most beautiful words in the Bible. And so we're saying that he would show us the riches of his grace in his kindness to us through Christ. Then, you be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Feel for people in what they're going through. And forgive as God, Christ's sake, has forgiven you. See, all this is beautifully tied together with the word of God. Now, our third word. And that is, it says, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. God's truth, think about the truth of God. Well, Psalm 100 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, be thankful to him, and bless his name. Verse 5 says, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. There it is, Old Testament. The truth of God endureth to all generations. And you know, in the New Testament, we're reminded of God's truth. You know what God's truth is? Right here. Old Pilate said, what is true? He didn't know about this. This is truth. You say, well, Brother Bill, what makes you so sure when you say the Bible is the truth of God? It's what Jesus said. We can't question his word, can we? And when he's praying in John 17, which is the Lord's Prayer, actually, I refer to that little short abbreviated prayer in Matthew 6, 9 through 13 as the model prayer. But to me, the Lord's real prayer is John 17. Read it sometime if you never have. I think all of you probably have. But he goes to the Father. And he pours out his heart in our behalf, in behalf of his sheep. And then he comes down to the 17th verse of the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John and says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. God's word does depart, doesn't it? Makes us different from the world around us. Sanctify through thy word is truth. But I'm going to give you another greater evidence of the truth of God. And Jesus again spoke in the 14th chapter, verse 6. I am the way. What? The truth. And that's what Paul is saying. Whatsoever things were written. And he's saying of aforetime, according to his perspective, it was Old Testament, basically. And whatever God said in the Old Testament, and I know there's a lot of people in the world that have discredited the Old Testament. There's a lot of people who don't have anything to do with the Old Testament. So I'm strictly a New Testament believer. But I stand here to tell you today, until you've read in the Old Testament and studied the Old Testament, there are some views of Christ prophetically you will never be blessed to see as you will see them there. Christ is scattered like gold nuggets throughout the Old Testament. The more you read, the more you see about Jesus. And then you will come to the New Testament and find the full fulfillment of those wonderful prophets. For example, God sent manna on the earth. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the bread of life, not like the manna they ate, but the one who has to eat of Jesus shall live forever. They ate that manna died. See, he's the manna, the water, you know, that flowed out of the rock. Jesus is the water of life. You go back there, you find it on the bedrock, and you build on it. Marvelous, it's true. So whatsoever written in aforetime was written for our learning, right here today, for us to learn something. That we through patience, I need more of that, how about you? We through patience and comfort, I need more of that, how about you? That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Let me in a nutshell tell you my hope. I believe by this word, there was a time when the Spirit of God moved upon a woman named Mary in such a sovereign way that a child was conceived of the Virgin Mary. And his name was Jesus. He left heaven's glory and came and took a body of flesh and a little baby form and grew into a man who lived without any sin. And one day went to the cross to die for years of mine. And because he shed his precious atoning blood and took the penalty of sin that we must ultimately face, and he took that eternal death and he bore it upon himself, and for a brief moment of time was separated from God the Father to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And why all his sins had come upon me, and it was so horrible and ugly. But on Calvary, that crimson tide washed us from our sins in his own blood, according to Revelation 1:5. And I stand washed, and you are washed, and born of the Spirit, redeemed by Christ, this sacrificial death and shed blood. And the fullness of that hope marches on beyond my life, that one day when God shall quiet my life, and take it to himself and leave my body upon this earth. And my spirit will be with him waiting on the resurrection. My hope is that one day Jesus will come again and he will speak the sound of the archangel, the sound of the trumpet, and the voice of Jesus, and the dead are going to be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Our life will be reunited. We'll be caught up with him to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Won't it be wonderful when we are ever with the Lord? And you see why this psalm says we'll be praising God. I mean, this is just part of what God's done for us. Look at your loved ones, you see other blessings. Look at your friends, you see other blessings. Look at your home when you get back, and it's another blessing. Look at your car when you get out there, it's another blessing. Look at the food on the table. It's another blessing. They're just too many of them. But if you'll take time to catch your blessings, you'll know how good the Lord's been doing. Now we'll close that last statement. Praise ye the Lord. That's how it ends. Begin to say praise the Lord, and now you come to the end. Praise ye the Lord. You know what? The word ye means you. You praise the Lord. Do you have that hope? Then praise the Lord. That's what it's saying. And you say, well, Brother Bill, how can I do that? There are two ways I want to quickly present to you. I would ask you to turn to Galatians chapter 5, if you will, just for 2 or 3 minutes as I close my sermon this morning.
spiritual reason without tongue. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. I can tell you today, you will never praise God by any of those sins in your life, nor can I. You see one thing? Sin will not praise God. But if we've been born again, someone lives within. He's called the Holy Spirit. Here is his fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, good, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Did you notice how verse 22 began? That's pretty good subject there, aren't you? That's how, when we live manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, our life by faith will praise God. But I want to close with one more verse. The other way we can praise God is with this mouth. Our greatest voice is the voice of our behavior. You know, if you want to talk the talk, you need to walk the walk. You ever heard that? And if you talk the talk, you don't walk the walk. What good does that do? Not much. A witness to anyone is. Think you're walking the walk like you talk the talk. You got to talk. Well, here's the talk. By him, talking about Christ. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Don't you like that little thing? The sacrifice of praise. They offered sacrifices in the Old Testament. And God's telling us we can still offer the sacrifice of praise to God. And what it says it is, explain it. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. And that's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. We can read it exactly. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Worship comes from a grateful heart. The praise of God comes from the heart that appreciates what God has done for us in the riches of his grace. That we can then say, Lord, I thank you so very much. I praise your holy name. And thank you for what he's done. And tell others what he has done in your life. It'll be a witness before tonight. All the goodness of God. And it will enable you to praise God both by your life, your walk, and by your voice, your talk. To his glory, I trust our joy. It's my prayer, Christ.